Well, it's that time of year again. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it is. Hey, good morning. It is Tuesday, Topical Tuesday, two-topic Tuesday today. A couple topics to talk about. Can't remember what the second one was. I had it written down here somewhere. I don't know what it was. I got a couple things to talk about. We have, Hey, it is Tuesday, April 14th, day before the big day. Favorite time of everybody's life. 8:40 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, Kevin. I am here to tell you it is going to be a great day. Hey, we have a few things to talk about. We're going to talk about taxes today. The main thing we talk about, because SCOTUS recently had a ruling that they made a comment that changed a lot of things. We're gonna get into that a little bit. There was an official document that they put out there that has basically changed the interpretation of the tax law, and it was very subtle and yet very extremely. It was like a huge thing here going off. I think income taxes are one of the biggest scams ever perpetrated upon the people of this country. But it's a property tax as well. That's a whole other issue. I don't get it. My cup is. I just poured this 20 minutes ago. I just got to start using an insulated covered cup. This little mug just doesn't do it. I put it in the microwave twice. It's lukewarm. I want to spew it out of my mouth. I have a few things to talk about today. In my cup, I have chai, lukewarm chai with Cinnabon creamer in it. And I have my backup cup is Chick-fil-A sweet tea. I have not yet made any of my own sweet tea. But I think what I'm going to do my next one, I bought a gallon of sweet tea at Chick-fil-A. They sell it in gallons. Got a gallon of it. Comes in a nice jug. It's actually a pretty nice jug. It's a clear jug that's got, it's fairly well made. And I think what I might do is actually use that jug next time I make tea. I think I'm going to actually put the tea in that and make some sweet peach tea. Next time I make my own homemade stuff, just use that same jug. I just like the jug. It seals up real nice at the top. It's, you know, it pours well. It's easy to do. So, yeah, I might just use it again. At least once. I'm probably not going to. It's kind of hard to clean those, but and that's important when you're doing tea, because if you get any kind of coliform bacteria in there, then it's not bad for you. It just turns the tea into a funky taste, and you got to make sure that stuff's scoured out of there. The kind of plastic it's made out of is not that HPEBB, whatever that stuff is. It's not the stuff that normal milk cartons are made out of. It's made out of an actual different kind of plastic. It's an easier to clean plastic, actually. It's not as easy to recycle, but it's easy to clean. So I may just keep it going for a while. I don't know. We'll see how that works out. In the meantime, I've got a couple of, I've got some AI callers set up for you today for your entertainment. Now, by the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm just a guy with a bunch of opinions that I spew all over, much like my lukewarm chai. I just spread my ignorance around out there for all of you to enjoy. It's free entertainment. So that's what I do. It's a thing. It's my hobby here. Yeah, it's my little hobby. This show is brought to you by me. I do not have a sponsor, because if I do, I might be intimidated into saying something or saying something that I don't want to say. So you're just going to get my opinion. That's going to be out there. I don't care who hears it. I don't care what it's all to say. It doesn't matter. I don't guard my words at all. I'm not monetized. It's just here. It's just for you. It's just my brain on display for you. I got this. So you might want to wear some goggles and some PPE, whatever you want. It's going to splatter everywhere. I have, let's just talk. That's what we're going to talk about today. That's all I got to say about that. And it's, So we might talk about a few political things just to kind of, you know, because but it's Topical Tuesday, so we're going to try to make the show what it is. Try to keep it under an hour. This show probably going to be about, 40 minutes or so. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, that's where we're at right now, so we'll get right into it.
It's the news, according to me, oh, it's the news, according to me, it's the news, according to me, oh, it's the news, it's the news, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Yeah, we've got. I want to ease right into it here this morning. We have interesting ruling, and I saw this a while back, and I didn't have a chance to actually look into it. Now I've known for a long time. This has been going on back in the 80s. This actually had come up. I think it was, or at least it was brought to my attention back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. It was discovered, it's been known for a while, but there was this one guy who was a police officer. He was in law enforcement, and he was he just had this uncanny knack for understanding the law. And he actually went into, I think he actually went to, well, being a police officer, you do have to study some things about the law because you're enforcing it. So you have to know what people's rights are. You're supposed to. Some officers are better than others about this kind of thing. But there's, you're supposed to know this kind of stuff. And it's, he did a deep dive. He just kind of had this uncanny knack for, you know, just kind of for going back to the root of where the law starts and following it forward. All law has to be based on and spring from, have a solid foundation in our constitutional law. Constitutional law is the main thing that protects us from any kind of laws that state, city, state, whatever it is, tries to impose upon us that are unconstitutional. They just can't do that. We have constitutional rights. They're not given to us by the state, and they can't be taken away from us by the state. And that's the whole thing that I think a lot of Democrats don't understand. They're more Democrats than Republicans. I think more Republicans understand it. Once you get this, you almost can't be a Democrat. They just walk all over this. In fact, if you remember, I don't know if I could play clips and I could do all kinds of things. But I don't have that available right now. Oh, you know, I forgot to push the start button over here because it's supposed to. As I'm speaking, I got this little thing over here. Oops, that's the wrong. Let's not do that. Where's my other thing at here? Here it is. No, that's not it either. Somewhere is my supposed to be my caller thing. Where'd it go here? Supposed to be there. It is. That's the podcast caller. Let's start that. Oh, let's start that one. Actually, let me see what we got going on. I got to make sure my settings are right. No, that's not going to be right. Yeah, we got a problem here. We got a little bit of a problem. I might have to refresh that. See what we got going on here now. Let's check the settings and see what we got. There we go. That's perfect. Okay. That was close. All right. Let's start it again. So we got here. Anyway, all right, there it goes. It's working. Never fear. Sometimes I know you were all worried about it because you had no idea what I'm pushing over here. I have, had to set up my AI callers over there. They were set up incorrectly. Where was I? We have, this guy was, he discovered this stuff. And he was kind of started digging into the law, and discovered that he went back to the constitutional law and determined himself that what SCOTUS has now finally admitted. Now this was 30 years ago. This guy was just a police officer, just read the law as it was and understood, you know, the foundation of the whole thing and figured it out. And it's very obvious, it's very clear. But for some reason, government has gotten away with this for a long time. Now the Democrats, as I was saying, the Democrats, they right after Affordable Health Care Act, that's not affordable at all, destroyed our health care system, our health insurance system. It didn't destroy the health care system. It had a huge, in my opinion, a negative effect on the health care industry because it gave insurance companies more power, and now they have more say in what you can do. You go to the hospital, they tell you how long you can be there. It's not up to the doctor anymore. It's up to the insurance company to tell you how long. Well, you can be there as long as you want to. They're not going to pay for it. Which kind of, they've already taken your money because you've paid your health insurance bill. So now they're going to tell you what you can pay, what you can do, what you can't do. Anyway, why don't you give me your money, and then I'll tell you later what you can do with it. We have, this is the, what has happened is the, right after that was passed, we had several House of Representative individuals got up in front of the cameras and talked about this is an important human right. Of all the rights this Congress has given, the one guy said this out loud and meant it. I don't think he actually understood what he was even saying. Of all the rights this Congress has given the people, this is one of the most important ones. Excuse me? Please tell me, what rights have you given me? Have you even read, understood anything about human rights and what the Constitution says about the rights, what the First Amendment is, what all the amendments state and what the preamble is, and do you understand anything about any of that? The founding documents of this, just what the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are not given to us by the Congress. We have certain unalienable. Unalienable. You can't be alienated from those rights. Given to you by your creator, or whatever you believe, naturally born with those rights. I think they're God-given rights. And it's humans that take them away. And Congress every day is making laws to take those rights away. If it's not Congress, it's some state or county or city. Now, if you decide to live in a city that's incorporated, you're living on their property. They can pretty much do whatever they want. They can come in and tell you have to change your window because it's the wrong color. It is that ridiculous. They actually have the right to do that, by the way, if you live in an incorporated city. Most people don't realize that. Once that city is incorporated, they have now claimed all the property. You are just a chattel on their land. That's not the way they want you to be responsible for all the property, but it's theirs. You got to pay rent to be there, basically, which is kind of the way property tax is in general, even outside of a corporate city limit. But they don't push it that way because that would be, that's not a very marketable strategy. People wouldn't really like that too much. So that's where we're at with this stuff. Now, what has happened is this guy came out and discovered that property tax or the income tax, the only legal income tax, because there's Article 1, I'll play a little. There's this guy named Dave Champion. He's a PhD. I think his channel is Dave Champion PhD. He's a little bit of a, what's the word? Egocentric. He thinks pretty highly of himself. Let's just put it that way. He's a very smart guy. But one of the claims he makes at the very beginning of his video, is that he is the most knowledgeable person in the United States probably in the world, taxes. That's a pretty bold statement to make. that's where that's the kind of guy he is. Now, and you'll probably hear it in his voice. Now, again, I'm going down another rabbit hole here off the side, another bunny trail here. But this guy has a lot of tattoos and some very strange earrings. That's all I'm going to say. Think what you will about that, but it's just that's just where I'm at with that. I'm just going to say if that's. Just want you to know that what kind of person we're in. But he's very knowledgeable when it comes to he understands the law and he understands what he's got a PhD. I'm just saying, don't judge a book by its cover because the cover's pretty weird looking. That's all I'm saying. I have I'd probably be friends with this guy. You know, if he was next door to me, neighbor to me, I'd probably get along with him just great. But probably, maybe, I don't know. Maybe he might be a real annoying guy too. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, if he doesn't like income taxes, I'd be probably a good friend of his. I'm just saying. So this guy back in the that I discovered back in the 80s, 90s, whatever it was. Pretty young guy, actually. He had kind of dropped out of his career as a law enforcement officer because he discovered this whole tax thing. He started helping people with their taxes. And what he did, he was the forerunner of this whole thing. He would actually go down to the tax collection office, the federal IRS building, and he would confront them every year about why he was not required to pay federal income tax. Now, once you get out of the federal system, the state system goes away as well. They don't track you after that. The federal system the state system is tied to the federal system when you file federal income tax, your W-2, whatever you do after at the end of the year, file your taxes. That is all based on the federal system. So once you're out of the federal system, the state system goes away as well. Now, Social Security, that also disappears. Unfortunately, they don't show that you've paid into it, so you're not going to get any of it if you're not paying. This guy successfully, for years, for decades, didn't pay income tax. But you have to be proactive about it, and every year you have to go down. So you spend a lot of time going down, but think of how much money you'll save. I mean, if you're making $100,000 a year, you're going to pay $30,000 or $40,000 a year in taxes. And that's probably worth a part-time job, going down to the IRS and sticking it in their face. And once you get the process down, it's not that difficult. But there are things you can file and things you have to do and stuff you have to know. You have to have some knowledge about this stuff. And then he would help people do this. And he started doing it for himself, and he started helping other people do it. The next thing you know, he's putting on seminars and helping people, writing books on how to do this stuff. He starts making more money. That's why he left the law enforcement office thing. So that's what happened with this guy. And I happened to go to one of these guys' seminars. He came around this area a couple times. And there was a pastor that I knew who kind of got me hooked up with him. And he was kind of the guy who was running around with this stuff. Now, this particular pastor ended up running into an investment thing that turned into a really sour thing. He got ripped off. And he wanted to see other people get involved with this thing, and he was trying to help out other people, went running around the country trying to drum up, gathering up some cash to put into this thing so there'd be all this money in this thing called debenture trading. And it was a ripoff from the very beginning. He didn't know that. And the people who were investing, of course, didn't know it. This con artist used him as the front person to go around and gather up all this money. Ripped off a group of people that were probably about at least a couple hundred people that had put a lot of money into this thing. I mean, we're talking millions. They were expecting to get back, hundreds of millions of dollars. None of that happened. It just didn't happen. And it all went away. It just all the money was gone. So what ended up happening, and that was all part of this whole thing. Well, this guy who did this guy who wrote these books and all this stuff, he also dug down in some other things. One of the things he dug into was the whole thing of the banking industry and this check. There's a check, I should say the federal bank, the Federal Reserve Bank, which kind of runs all the other banks, around state banks and the regular banking system. Not credit unions necessarily, but however, credit unions have gone down the same path. They're so far, they're regulated so much now, you wouldn't know the difference between them. But a regular bank, it falls under certain regulations. There is a little loophole when it comes to writing checks. And there's been several people who've discovered this loophole and tried to get away with it, and then ended up in jail because they screw around with it and end up it's because of something called fraud. And it's you end up, and of course the fraud is the check. That's the problem. When they discover this, they start writing checks that they claim. It's just weird loophole thing that they've discovered. Well, you still can't get away with it. You're still going to get arrested for it. You're still going to, because the person who you defraud, somebody's going to get defrauded in this process. And it's not a good situation. So this guy discovered this little thing, and he started doing this. He started doing these investments, started writing these checks, and he started helping other people do these checks. In fact, Denzel Washington got involved with this guy at one point. I think Denzel actually, I'm pretty sure he got convicted of some things along with this guy. And I'm not sure, I don't know if he spent any time in prison or not. But he definitely got a serious fine, got in big trouble tax-wise, and as well as, because he was doing this stuff where I think he was paying his taxes or something with this check thing. I don't know how it all worked out. Now, the income tax part of it, if he had just stuck with, if this guy would have just stuck with this stuff, with just the income tax thing, it probably would have ended up, you know, being a deal where he would have done very well and ended up probably speaking before the Supreme Court and making the arguments. Now, the Supreme Court, it's themselves, I don't know how this happened, but the Supreme Court came out with a statement, and this statement actually has changed things. Because the difference is direct tax and indirect tax. That's kind of the basis of this whole thing. The way I understand it is, I'm not a tax expert. I'm just a guy who's sitting there observing, and I'm going to share with you what I've observed and what I remember from what I observed. What I understand is the income tax is based on income derived from the sale, distribution, or manufacturing of alcohol, tobacco, or firearms, and there are some taxes on printed material, literature, books that can be imposed. Because of the definition of indirect and direct taxation based on apportionment. Now, I'm just rattling this off from the top of my head the way I understand it. Now, I'm going to let this guy, I'm going to actually play some of this video. It's a long video. It's probably about 30 minutes long. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm going to play about 3 or 4 minutes of it. You'll probably, now, if you listen to this guy, I could hear this guy in his voice and kind of nail who this guy is. I think, by the way, here's another bunny trail I'd like to go down. It's very possible I might have ADHD. I'm not sure. I was never diagnosed as a child, but I definitely fit in some box. It's mild. It's not an extreme case of it. And there's been, for a while, they were trying to equate autism. Maybe I don't know the definition of autism. They were trying to equate autism with ADHD. Let's see what the definition here. Autism is, or autism spectrum disorder, ASD, is a neurodevelopmental condition affecting how people communicate, interact, behave, and experience the world. It is a spectrum that manifests differently in everyone. Variations in communication, verbal or nonverbal social skills, and sensory processing while presenting challenges. It also includes unique strengths in focus, memory, and perspective. Everybody is on a spectrum with autism, that's my understanding. The social communication challenges, restricted repetitive behaviors, developmental timing, prevalence spectrum. There's this attempt to put ADHD into the autism autistic spectrum, and it probably is in there because it's just everybody's in that. But it probably is sort of I would say it's a parallel issue. ADHD is just a little bit different. Your brain is wired differently. And it's not that it's wired wrong. It's wired for a different kind of environment. People who have ADHD have extremely high pattern recognition. I'm not reading this. This is just me talking. I've been doing a lot of deep diving into the issue. Because it seems that I check off a lot of boxes with the ADHD thing. And it's, pattern recognition is very quick with me. However, academics and study and diving down deep into something is not, I can be laser focused on it if it's something I'm interested in. If I'm not interested in it, I cannot get it done. The whole thing of and the environment being clean, there's this, all this stuff that I check off all the boxes to some degree. And it makes more sense now. That's the way I'm wired. It makes more sense the way I understand things, the way I can get through life, why I frustrate my wife so much. That's all part of that. So that's where I'm at. How did I get into this side note thing? It's pattern recognition. Anyway, this guy talking. You know, you'll hear this guy when he's speaking. If you have an ADHD, when you hear this guy talk, you'll when I play this video, I think you'll pick it out pretty much right away. It's he has a certain way of speaking that just right away you know this, what this guy's about. At least I can't. I that's the way. Again, it gets back to the pattern recognition thing. I'm just saying. I could just hear the audio of this guy and know. No, but what he's about. Anyway, I'll just jump into this. I'm going to play some of this and see what you think. I'm going to go from here and see what you think. I think this is about, he starts talking about the article. I've got it in the right, so I'm going to cue this up in the right spot. Let's listen to this guy, see what he has to say.
With that said,
here goes.
Here is what paragraph A says. Article 1 of the Constitution affords Congress broad power to lay and collect taxes. The power includes direct taxes, those imposed on persons and property, and indirect taxes, those imposed on activities or transactions. Direct taxes must be apportioned among the several states according to each state's population, while indirect taxes are permitted without apportionment but must be uniform throughout the United States. Taxes on income are direct taxes, and the 16th Amendment confirms that taxes on income need not be apportioned. Let me cut to the chase on the profound change that paragraph will produce in the United States.
Now, he says he's going to cut to the chase, and he kind of does, and then he goes on for the next 25 minutes explaining cutting to the chase. To his credit, this is complicated stuff because it has become so muddled up and cluttered up with so much information. It's kind of ridiculous. I think my little kitty is down here. I see the shadow of my cat around the corner. I have the complication of all the stuff that has happened is ridiculous, and that's where it's at. Let's keep it going.
That paragraph prevents the Internal Revenue Service from collecting income tax from any American living and working in a state of the union, earning his or her domestic income, and who invests a bit of time getting informed. Before I jump in, I want to go up to the 35,000 foot level and consider what the court did in paragraph A. The first thing the court did was to validate that everything I've been telling you in my book, Income Tax Shattering the Myth, is legally factual. In paragraph A, the court said, quote, taxes on income are indirect taxes, which is precisely what I've been telling the American people for 30 years, and Income Tax Shattering the Myth has been telling my countrymen since it was published 15 years ago. I appreciate that the Supreme Court has validated my work.
Now, having listened to this, do you still understand whether or not income taxes are indirect or direct taxes? You've listened to it, and I've listened to it. He's explained it. Or has he? Because I don't know. I still don't know whether the original interpretation was indirect or direct. And he goes into more of a definition of what indirect and direct taxes are. The problem here is that when you make money, it has been determined that when you, because here's what's happening. You're trading your life. You know, I work 8 hours a day. Say I work 40 hours a week. And in exchange for those 40 hours, my employer gives me, well, let's just say, you know, you're working for minimum wage and you get $10,000 for the week. let's say you make $1,000 in a week. Let's just say, you know, it's just average job, make $1,000 in a week. So with that $1,000, that's your property. You traded your life. You said that 40 hours of my week this, you know, of my life this week was worth $1,000. And I exchanged those 40 hours for $1,000. Somebody else gave me $1,000 for the 40 hours I put in. And the government comes in and says, well, that's an increase. We're going to tax that because you've increased your wealth. No, because I spent my life for that wealth. I spent something for that wealth. I exchanged my life for those $1,000. Therefore, you don't get any of it because it's mine. I traded my life for that. And you can't tax my life because that's a God-given right. It's an unalienable right. Can't take it away from me. This represents 40 hours of my week. You can't take it. That's where I'm at with this, with the whole income tax thing, is that it's immoral. It's taking from your life. The idea, now if I just have that $1,000 sitting there and it all of a sudden becomes $2,000, then the government wants to say, well, you got an increase. It's a whole other thing or whatever it is. Now, if I manufacture, sell or distribute alcohol, tobacco, or firearms, that's been an approved taxation thing. So I'm sorry for the background dinging thing. Every time I get a message on my computer here, it's going to ding. Sorry about that. It's kind of annoying. That's where it goes. Now, whether or not that's an indirect, the definition of indirect and direct is still a little bit unclear. I'd have to go back and listen to it again. My understanding is indirect taxes have to be, certain taxes have to be apportioned because you have to go, it has to be based on the state's population. So it has to be, you know, apportioned to each state individually. You have to pay a certain amount of taxes based on that state. It's kind of a tricky, that whole thing gets a little bit tricky there. But so let's continue on with see what he has to say, sir.
The second thing paragraph A did was tell half the federal circuit courts they've been wrong for decades. An income tax shattering them, as I discussed, that half the federal circuits have held the income tax to be an indirect excise, which is legally factual, and the other half have held it to be a direct tax absent an apportionment, which is not legally factual. The Moore decision confirms that half the circuit courts have been wrong for 100 years.
Now he's probably what he's implying here is that the courts have been saying that it's a direct tax and it's an indirect tax. So now whether or not that's the way it's determined, whether or not that's a correct thing or whether it's wrong or right or whether it should be done that way or not, that's where I'm still unclear on this.
More on that in a minute. Let's get into the specific language the court used. So when you read paragraph A again, it will make perfect sense. In paragraph A, the court mentions direct taxes and indirect taxes. Uh-huh. Because those terms are essential to understanding the larger issue, you need to know what each of those terms means.
Yeah.
We'll start with the explanation of direct taxes.
Okay, good.
As the court stated, direct taxes bear upon persons and property. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 of the Constitution requires direct taxes to be apportioned and reads as follows. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. What that means is Congress would declare an amount each state owes the federal government based on the state's population as determined by the most recent census. Each state would be responsible for making payment of the amount imposed by Congress. If a state refused or fell short, the federal government might collect the tax directly from the citizens of the state.
Okay, now, so what this means is basically, let's say you have a country, a state with 1 million people in it. And the federal government's going to say, okay, you got 1 million people in your state, you owe us X amount of dollars based on the individuals. is a dollar per head. So you owe us $1 million. Another state might have 10 million people in it. And then, so you're going to say, okay, that you guys, you have 10 million people in there. You owe us $10 million. That's kind of what that's it. Now, if the state refuses to pay it or doesn't get it paid, then the Fed can come in and directly tax you, tax the individual citizens for that particular year. They can't just keep continue to, and they can't just take it out of your check before you see it. They have to come to you and give you a tax bill for a dollar or whatever it is. That's how that works. I think that's what he's explaining. At least that's my understanding of what he's saying here. I'm not the professor. He's the PhD. I don't have the PhD in taxation or whatever. I don't know. He might have a PhD in basket weaving or for all I know. He's a PhD, so we got to listen to him because he's kind of got that doctor thing going on. This is the way I understand it now so far. But this is
an illustrative example. Let's say Congress imposed a direct tax in the form of a capitation tax. University of Michigan Law School has perhaps the most straightforward definition of a capitation tax, which reads, also known as a head tax. Capitation tax is a direct tax on a person as opposed to a tax on income, merchandise, or an economic transaction.
Manufacturing.
In other words, it's a tax levied on you simply because you exist.
Exactly.
Why did I say Congress would declare an amount the state owes? And if a state didn't pay, the federal government might collect the tax directly from the people. I phrased it that way because we really don't know what the apportionment mechanism would look like. The Constitution
never been
is
done.
Silent on the mechanics of how apportionment would be accomplished. From the day the Constitution was ratified until this very moment, Congress has never enacted.
They've never defined it. It's never been done.
We can only speculate about how exactly apportionment would operate. Let's summarize on direct tax. Any direct tax would have to be apportioned among the states. It is presumed apportionment would be a tax based on each state's population. In the entire history of the United States, Congress has never imposed a direct tax. With direct taxes under our belt, let's examine indirect taxes, which of course begins with the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution states, quote, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States.
By the way, this one statement, common defense and general welfare. Where did we get the word welfare? The welfare system, the welfare, being on welfare, general welfare of the United States, not the people, not the general welfare of the people, it's the general welfare of the United States. But welfare is where they got that key word right there was what they used to start the welfare system. Well, it's in the Constitution. That's in the Constitution. What welfare is in the Constitution? General welfare.
Anyway. States, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States.
Okay.
Duties, imposts, and excises are the three constitutional forms of indirect tax. There is no fourth type.
Yep, and that's based on income. Again, the manufacturing, sale, or distribution of certain goods. It's very specific.
In paragraph A, the court said indirect taxes are those imposed on activities or transactions. An example of that is customs duties. The tax is imposed on the activity of importing products into the United States. Although the following judicial statement was made specifically about excise taxes, it applies to all indirect taxes and reads, the obligation to pay an excise is based upon the voluntary action of the person taxed in performing the act, enjoying the privilege or engaging in the privilege which is the subject of the tax, and the element of absolute unavoidable demand is lacking.
This is the basis of the income of the tax system. This is the basis. Now let me be very clear. This is the basis of the tax system. Now, the Constitution only affords alcohol, tobacco, and firearms to be the only things that are considered to be constitutionally taxed. Very interestingly enough, well, I shouldn't say that. There are other things, but that is where they get the income tax. That's what the income. If you follow the income tax law back to that, well, if you don't manufacture, sell, or distribute alcohol, tobacco, or firearms, then you drop out of the income tax system. Because that's what's all income tax is derived from, that foundational thing in the Constitution. This is how wiry this stuff gets. But they won't. You could challenge them on that all day long, and every officer you talk to is going to say, no, it's right there. They point to something that isn't there. They claim it's there, and they'll put you in jail for it. It's
to be clear, when the court says privilege, it means a government-granted privilege. A good way to think about a privilege is it's something you do not have a right to do, and which, absent government permission, the activity would be prohibited. What does the court mean when it says, quote, the element of absolute unavoidable demand is lacking? It simply means that if you don't want to pay an indirect tax, don't engage in the government-granted privilege.
Therefore, exactly. You have a choice. This is where it gets very interesting here.
Applying this to our previous example, if you don't want to pay customs duties,
don't import anything.
Don't import goods into the United States.
Okay.
I should add.
This guy goes on. I could play more of this, and it's very interesting. Very interesting stuff. This is going to have ramifications later on, as more things enter the court system. Now you have to understand the IRS has their own courts. You don't go down to the county courthouse to deal with tax situations. Typically, there's very few issues that counts to. Most of the time you go to the IRS courts, and of course they run their own thing, and they kind of have their own interpretation of the law, and they're not going to change anything. They're just going to say, well, there you go. It's based on precedent that they have no purview beyond their own little world. If you can challenge it and take it to the Supreme Court, if the Supreme Court will hear your case, this ruling, or if you get a good lawyer who can bring up this ruling from the Supreme Court and the way they've changed what it means, actually not changed what it means, they've actually more clearly defined what it has always meant. What they're going to say is, oh, well, this supersedes decades of tax law. The way we've had decades, it's been this way since 1972. So it's been wrong since 1972. It seems like they don't care about that kind of thing. Well, you know, Roe v. Wade's been in place for 50 years. Oh, gosh, that's been normal law for 50 years. Yeah, that's the problem. That's why it was overturned. Finally, the problem is it was wrong for 50 years. Can something be wrong? The longer it's wrong, the more normal it becomes. Apparently, the more it was wrong then. Keep in mind, it was wrong for 150 years. Then all of a sudden, it became the law, and now it's been law for 2 years. Oh, it's been law. It's the Supreme Court. That's how ridiculous some of this stuff is. We need to be able to open this stuff up and reexamine it all the time. I mean, precedent is one thing, and it should have some weight, but not the entire weight. But I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. What do I know? Anyway, let's see what we have here with involved too. Let's see if somebody wants to call in and ask some questions. I've been talking.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hey,
Marty,
how's it going?
Here.
Yeah,
it's the most wonderful time of the year again.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
Tax time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll go.
Are we actually legally required to pay income tax? Or
what was that?
I've heard all kinds of thoughts on both sides of this. What's your opinion, oh great-minded one?
Well, I think I've pretty much explained most of that. Going on with it. I'd like to know just when do you pay your tax? What's your tax situation like there, Artie? You got any tax clips or tax tips, tricks? Anything that you would recommend?
Actually, you raise some very interesting points.
Technically
speaking, the Supreme Court has ruled that the requirement to pay income tax is a lawful exercise of the government's power to tax.
Uh-huh.
However,
uh-huh.
There are nuances and complexities to this issue that are often overlooked.
Yeah, I think I've talked about
From
that.
A legal perspective, it's simply not as black and white as many would have you believe. There are valid arguments on both sides,
uh-huh.
and I think it's an important topic that deserves deeper examination and open discussion.
Well, apparently the Supreme Court has done that, and now they've opened a can of worms here because they've actually kind of spilled the beans, from what I understand, in this whole process. At least that's my understanding of it. Now, I don't know. We need to have a perspective maybe from somebody who is a little bit...
Well, hold on, Kevin. I know a guy who stopped paying taxes and he ended up in jail. Yeah, Isn't this all just a bunch of worthless information? Because they're never going to let us stop paying income taxes.
Well, that's... You know what? That's probably a good point. But I appreciate people who are, a little bit more... what do you want to say? The antithesis, antagonists, skeptics out there. So what are you going to do about taxes? Skip, what are you going to do? Are you going to pay your taxes or not? What do you think you're going to do there? How do you feel about that? I'm just interested in what this AI people are going to talk about. What do you think? You can respond anytime.
Hold on just a minute there, fella. Back in my day, we didn't go around questioning the government and their taxes. You pay your dues, that's just how it is. Now I know these young whippersnappers out there like to stir up trouble, but the way I see it, the Supreme Court has spoken. This income tax thing is here to stay, no matter how much we gripe about it. Sure, there may be some nuances and complexities, but at the end of the day... We're all going to have to pony up come tax season. Now, I'm no lawyer, but I've been filing my returns the same way since.
So, and then he stops talking. I think that's the whole point of this particular, maybe he doesn't understand this particular Supreme Court ruling because it's so new that AI hasn't caught up with this, but it's interesting, in my opinion, what has happened there with that. Let's maybe we could talk to a historian about this. And see what the historian might say.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
Oh, you're welcome.
Historically speaking, as a historian, taxes are very historically historical. It has played a huge part of the shaping of every nation, but probably even more this nation in particular. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the biggest thing that sparked the revolution and has been a big part of our political climate ever since.
That's true.
Historically speaking.
Historically, yeah. I would say it's a historical speaking thing. Yeah. Well. Again, it's historically speaking, there have been a lot of people who fought back against taxes, and of course, that's been some of the things like some of the income tax stuff that's happened in the past. Some of the compounds that people put together, the sovereign man movement, and all that. Some of those kinds of things. There's all kinds of things that have happened throughout the years where people discover this kind of stuff and they realize that hey, income taxes aren't. They don't have to participate in the income tax system, and I think it's interesting to see how that works out for them. It's typically ends up being they end up being surrounded by federal agents and weird things happen. But what is your take on it? Are you gonna pay your taxes there, Elena? Are you gonna pay your taxes? What are you gonna do? What are you thinking?
I see. Raise some excellent historical points. As a historian, I can say that the tax resistance movement has a long and complex history in this country. While there have been many attempts to challenge the legal requirement to pay income taxes, mm-hmm. the Supreme Court has consistently upheld the government's power to levy such taxes. Those who have refused to participate in the tax system often end up facing severe legal consequences, as you noted. Yep. It's an issue that deserves careful analysis of the nuances and precedents involved. I appreciate you bringing this discussion back to a more objective historical perspective.
Yeah, well, because you're all about history. That's your history is all. Being a historian, you would want to do that. Now, we could talk to somebody on the West Coast here, Chloe.
Kevin. I pay a lot of taxes.
Oh yeah.
I don't get why my check is so small at the end of payday. Where's all this money going?
Well, that was quick. That was a quick response, right? I'm not sure Chloe's ever been that's you're very sharp this morning. Have you had too much coffee? A lot of the money goes, here's the thing. The income tax system, it's a lot of people have said, well, you have to pay your taxes. Government can't operate without tax. Yes, it can. The government income taxes are a huge part of controlling you as a citizen of the United States. It's mostly control. You think that the billions of dollars that are spent every year are not just collected by personal income tax. That's just a way to control you, in my opinion. The actual taxes, you pay taxes all over the place. Right now in the state of Indiana, a gallon of gas, you will pay 70 cents just in taxes. I think in California it's over a dollar. I think it's $1.70, something like that, a dollar more than that. Just the taxes on a gallon. The the gas company could give away the gas and you would still have to pay $1.70 a gallon on the, just to pay the taxes on that gallon. This is why electric cars are now, the government's kind of swallowing kind of hard here because they realize, they're avoiding the pump. We got to figure out how to tax them now. So if you have an electric, now what they want to do is they want to tax you per mile on your car. They want to put a mileage tax on your car, not just the gallon of gas you buy. This is all being brought on by the electric car industry because they can't track them. They can't tax the miles you drive now. They can't put the wheel tax doesn't apply. Now you can license. They could charge you to license it. So that's actually a legal tax. So you buy an electric car and you have to pay $2,000 for your license plate. That's how they should do it. Now the problem is you can drive it a lot or none at all. You're still going to pay $2,000. You can't apportion it that way. That has nothing to do with the apportionment I was talking about earlier with the states. But that's just they can't apply that tax to. So the more you drive with the gas tax, the more you drive it, the more gas you use. Or is it? The more it's going to do that. But so your taxes really go to, it's kind of a Ponzi scheme. What they do is they take your money and they give it away. And it's called redistribution. Wealth redistribution is what the tax system is doing now. It's just they take it from you and give it to somebody else or help somebody else with it. Most of the infrastructure, everything else that's done is done through property taxes and other kinds of taxes like levies, like all kinds of things that they tax other things. All taxes come back to the consumer. That's just kind of the way that works. But what do you think? Are you going to pay your taxes, Chloe? What are you going to do? As an AI person, are you all the money you make as AI?
All right, let's unpack this tax situation.
All right, why are you?
As a total TikTok junkie, I'm so here for this discussion.
Why are you?
The government
so weird?
Is out here playing 4D chess, trying to find new ways to tax us, from gas to electric cars.
Uh-huh.
They're really struggling to keep up with the times, you know?
Yeah.
But like, the whole redistribution of wealth.
Now you're finally settling down.
That's so sus. It's just a way for them to control us and line their own pockets. We got to stay woke and call out this
coffee
Ponzi scheme
off now.
They've got going on. Honestly, I'm just waiting for the...
She cut herself off. She's hung up. She's hung up in the middle of her sentence there. I don't know what happened to her. I think I got everybody. Is everybody chime in there? It was Artie and Skip. And I've got everybody. Okay, that was everybody's opinion. Yeah, so there you go. That's where we're at with all this stuff. It's kind of just one of those crazy, crazy, weird, wacky things. That's where we're at. Now, if I get a chance to listen to this guy. I think he put this thing out actually 2 months ago. But it's Dave Champion, PhD. If you get a chance to check him out, just to check out that thing. He goes on with more explanation of it. It's interesting listening. It's if you're bored and you want to know more about it. Tax law, what it boils down to is, see your CPA, see your accountant, do your taxes, have it somebody, or get have a service do it or get the proper knowledge, inform yourself, and if you're going to file your taxes and do the right thing, wait for the tax law to change. There, at some point there'll be rulings and it'll be very clear as to what you can get away with, what you can't. Just, go get some advice from a certified person. That's just the best way to do it. Anyway, that's what I got to say about that. I have now, thesis track of Dave Champion. That's actually YouTube. This is actually working today. Normally this thing doesn't work that well, but it's actually pulling up articles. As I'm speaking, it pulls up articles over on the side. Articles and links to videos that are relevant to what I'm talking about. It's just kind of interesting. It's actually working today. It's got videos. It's got links. It has videos for Dave Champion there, right? Dr. Dave Champion. Thesis track, Dave Champion. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff there. So it's actually working. Now, in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about how AI is affecting the markets and the economy in general. And we're going to talk a little bit more about financial stuff this Friday. I've already got some stuff lined up for that. Again, I'm on vacation right now, so it's going to be, I've got no stress, got nothing else to, I don't have to cram everything into 3 days that I'm off, or 2 or 3 days that I'm off and try to make the show work. So I've got time to kind of put some things together and hopefully get some templates made so that the show actually improves. Even when I do go back to work next month, I'll be able to have a better show by that point, because there are more people listening. I don't understand what's happening with the numbers here. It's kind of a weird phenomenon right now, I have to say. On the days I put out a show, the days I don't put out a show, here's what's weird. Even the days I don't put out a show, the numbers are higher than what we're normally every day when I did put out a show. Now they're 10 times more. So I'm expecting today to be ridiculous. Now yesterday's show went out late, so it was kind of a weird deal. But when I put it out in the morning, if I could get it out early enough, usually before 10 o'clock Eastern time, there are a lot of people listening. I don't understand what's going on with that. I don't know. So we're just interesting to see what happens with that. It could just be I'm being spied on. Something's happening. I don't know. Who knows what's happening. So there you go. We'll be back. Anyway, the whole AI thing, the market and what's happening with the market. There are now AI agents and bots and systems and software that will do trading for you automatically. You can set up parameters and say, hey, I want to do a wheel strategy on whatever it is, American Airlines, whatever it is. And it will do it for you. And you can give it parameters and say, okay, within 10% of this, you're going to make this trade. Basically, everything that you would base everything on, and it will go further than that. It will. You can say, okay, along with these rules, I want you to also look into what Congress is trading, members of Congress. See what they're trading. So you can go to like Unusual Whales or something like that, and you could, or the Backpack Trader, or something like that. You could do something like that. And it will look at those, it will scrape those websites. It will check out what's going on there. And it will say, okay, these people are looking at these. Let's look at that. Let's put some emphasis, 40% of my emphasis or whatever, my decision is going to be based on what they're doing. It will weigh all that out, and it will make these trades for you automatically, and it will keep things rolling. And it theoretically, as long as it keeps working. Now the problem with this is it can crash, and then it doesn't do anything, and you're stuck with a trade that you should have had canceled, and you didn't cancel it. That's part of the problem there. And it's supposed to give you updates all the time. You can have this thing set up to give you updates every hour or whatever it's doing every time it makes a trade or doesn't make a trade. The best way to do it is every hour. Then if it doesn't give you a trade, a report in an hour, then you know something happened to my little agent guy doing the thing. So those kinds of things, that's kind of interesting stuff. But that's what's happening kind of with the industry. Now, how that's going to affect the markets is interesting, because you've got, if people know how your bots are trained, somebody doing the trading knows, well, I know that there's a lot of bots out there that are trained to do this. If this happens, they're going to do that. So they can therefore forecast what's going, they can make something happen in the market that will get, they can fake out the agents. They can say, okay, we're going to do this. The agents are going to do that. And we're going to come in with this, and they're not going to expect it. So you can outsmart the agents. Now you're going to have agents that will be able to outsmart the agents. They're going to look at what's happening agentically, as they say. And then you're going to have super agents that outsmart the agents, and there's other agents that do stuff with the agents. It's all going to be agents. The whole market's going to be, it's going to be crazy. That's my theory. I'm sticking with it. We'll be right back. We'll talk about what's going to happen the rest of the week here, what's going to be on the show, and we'll be right back with more of that right after this.
It's the news, according to me, oh, it's the news, according to me, it's the news, according to me, oh, it's the news, according to me, it's the news, yeah, according to me, it's the news, according to me. According to me.
There we go. I have a, you can call the show. Hey, 574-651-7685. Leave a message there, if you would. Text message or a voicemail message. I might actually play it on the show. You never know. Give it a try. Just be bold. Be strong. Do what you want. I have a, You can also go to google.com/voice and leave that message there at 574-651-7685. See what happens to you. See how your life changes before doing such a wonderful thing. I have tomorrow's show is middle of the week Wednesday. I used to call it Wishy-Washy Wednesday, and we called it Hump Day. We called it all kinds of things. I don't know what to call it. We're just going to have a show tomorrow. I've been trying to do the live show thing on Wednesdays. I might try it tomorrow. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. It all depends kind of on how busy it is here around the house. I might have to go into the worldwide headquarters to have that. Sometimes that's the only way to... I probably should do that. In fact, I need to go in and start getting some stuff done there anyway and just spend some time at my... the worldwide headquarters, getting some things cleaned up and fixed up. And spring, this winter was hard on the building outside. Got to get some things done there. Get some work done. Get some things cleaned up. That's probably what's going to happen with that. So anyway, the rest of the week should be interesting. I have I don't know. That's pretty much all I have to talk about it the rest of the day here. So in the meantime, what do we got here? It's it's been an hour already, just like that. Hour went flying by. Once again, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for, sharing. If you're going to share the show, if you're going to subscribe to the show, that's always good. Download the show. It's all good stuff. It's not monetized. It's not, I don't get paid. I don't have a sponsor. It's just me, my thoughts, my therapy, if you will. I'm able to just kind of brain dump on all y'all for a little while. I have, again, tomorrow morning, maybe I'll do a live show tomorrow. I think that's what I'm going to do. It's a live show tomorrow about 9 o'clock-ish. If you want to tune into the live show, I think you can get it on Podbean. I don't know how. I think May 12th, Podbean is going to stop doing live broadcasting. So I'm going to try to figure out what else we can do with the live show stuff. It'll be interesting to do. Meantime, folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your week. And I will, I'll see you, I guess, when I see you. So... just keep playing. It's supposed to be done now. It's finally ending. See ya.